The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Here's what we do know. Facebook is leading the creation of a new global currency called Libra. The social network is bringing together a new consortium of 28 companies, including tech giants like Uber and eBay, payment firms like PayPal and Visa, and cryptocurrency pioneers like Coinbase, who are all pledging millions of dollars to create this new cryptocurrency and the blockchain network that underpins it. Before too long, Facebook hopes that billions of us will be using WhatsApp and Messenger to send each other payments using Libra, making it the first mainstream cryptocurrency.
So this week, social media giant Facebook announced its intentions to launch a cryptocurrency, Libra. Some have urged the company to halt the project, while Mark Carney of the Bank of England has given it a cautious welcome. I'm now joined by Elaine Burke, editor of Silicon Republic. Elaine, first of all, what is Facebook doing here?
Yeah, so they've done so far really is released a white paper. It's 12 pages that describes this concept called Libra and the Libra Association, which is what involves the other names that were mentioned in that report. Uber, PayPal, Spotify are involved. There's 28 organisations in the Libra Association and Facebook is one of those members. They've all put up $10 million to say that they're going to start this network to support Libra, a cryptocurrency.
That doesn't sound like a huge amount of money. I know it's 28 by 10, but yeah. You think if you're going to start a currency, but it's in its infancy, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think their ultimate goal, probably not their ultimate goal, but they're aspiring to get to maybe about 100 members. And when you think of, like, there have been fintech startups that have started with small amounts of money and done pretty well. In the UK, Monzo and Starling are really taking off. There's a lot of people using Revolut here in Ireland.
So how will it work? Basically, I would take some money in a currency, mm-hmm. such as the euro or whatever, that I get paid in, and I would purchase some Libras, and then I would buy things with those.
Yeah, that's one way that I can do it. And essentially what it looks like is similar to a bank. So the Libra Association will take your money, give you Libra coin in exchange, hold that money in a reserve and make profits off of that money that will then be distributed to the members.
How do they make banking works. How do they make money?
Well, the same way like banks work, they take in your money and invest it in
charge
other things.
Charge you a fee or invest in other things.
But they're trying to do fee-free transactions for the users of Libra coin. So if you want to do those exchanges in WhatsApp or Messenger or maybe microtransactions and small amounts of money, there should be either no fee or such a minimal fee that you don't really notice how much there is there.
One of the key issues about all of this is whether or not this new currency would be traded. And it's very hard to see how it would not be traded, because anything that there is a demand for, in theory, a market for that can happen and the price and value of it can change.
Yeah, and I think for Facebook, what they really want to happen when they bring this out in, say, the first half of 2020, which is their goal, is to get critical mass adoption really quickly. So they've talked about maybe companies might pay people in Libra coin, or maybe pay their bonuses in Libra coin, or they might offer discounts with retailers that decide to trade in Libra coin that will encourage people to go to Libra coin. You get a slightly cheaper price on it, but none of this has been agreed to yet, so these are all kind of speculative goals for
now. It does seem to be somewhat aimed at those who are not banked at the moment.
Yeah.
So let's say in developing countries, or people who are maybe from an African country but they're living in Europe and they might want to send money home or whatever those kind of situations would be. Some people have been very critical of this, including one of the co-founders of Facebook, Chris Hughes. He suggested that basically this could undermine the integrity of the currencies in those countries.
Yeah, and that's a thing that's actually happened before. You don't need a cryptocurrency to make this happen. If you travel to certain developing nations, you might find that you're spending money in American dollars because their own local currency has kind of got no value. It fluctuated so much that it failed. That's a thing that has happened in the world. So if Libra became the American dollars in that situation, that is probably their intention. Because if you think about it, you or I probably doesn't see any point in trading our money for Libra coins, because we don't really have any use for that. Especially in Europe, we've got the single economic payments area. We can move money around in our countries quite easily. But for people who want to send money to, say, sub-Saharan Africa, remittances sent there have a 9% charge on them. If 4.6 billion was traded in remittances to sub-Saharan Africa last year at a 9% charge, that's $4 billion. Dollars equivalent. And if you lower that charge just slightly, that's a saving of $1 billion. So if people can get less charges on those kind of trades, they're probably going to go for it.
Will this be regulated?
That's a big question. The regulators have kind of had a very some say lukewarm response, I'd say a hostile response in some cases, particularly the French finance minister. And the thing about cryptocurrency is it's largely been used in dark markets at the moment, and he wants assurances that a currency like this won't be used for things like funding terrorism and that kind of thing. Other regulators want questions answered, and in the US they're going to have a hearing on July 16th in front of a Senate committee on banking to talk about Libra. So they haven't really hashed it out with regulators, and if you want to launch what they think is going to be a global currency, you are going to have to meet compliances in many different markets in many different ways, and there's a reason why that's really difficult.
This might sound totally naive on my part, but why is Facebook doing this? You say it's a whole new business model, potentially it's a new area. They already have so many lucrative business areas, are a hugely profitable company. Why this?
Yeah, finance is a really good moneymaker, as we're all aware of. And if there are 1.7 billion people in the world unbanked, and Facebook has a membership of 2.38 billion users, a lot of them are probably those unbanked people, because Facebook has actually targeted Facebook Lite in areas that are in developing nations. So they're trying to get to those users, so to make it so that the banking that they use, the systems that they use, become owned by Facebook, and that's what they become used to, and that's what they kind of use for the rest of their lives, essentially.
Is there a privacy issue then? Because Facebook has been so heavily criticised. Yeah. Could this be another way of gaining further information about us?
I mean, that's all. Always going to be a question with Facebook. They've said that they're aware that people don't want their social data commingling with their financial data, and they respect that. But Facebook has said it respects things about our privacy before and failed on many accounts in that respect. So I think in the area of trust, it will be a problem again for users like ourselves to take this up. But if it's your only option to trade and to become kind of financially enabled, then you're kind of put in a tricky position. Then you might end up using Facebook just because it's all you can do.
Would you use it?
I would absolutely not use it.
Why not?
I don't trust Facebook as a company. I have a Facebook account so that I can run the Silicon Republic Facebook page. I don't actually really actively use it as a user otherwise.
So you're reflecting there some of the concerns about data and about privacy that you would still remain to be convinced about.
Yeah.
But do you think that in somewhere such as in Europe, such as in the United States, that it would be appealing for some people and easy and practical?
I think the main people that it can appeal to are people who are locked out of traditional banking services, or even some of the interesting fintech services that are available now. Facebook has said it wants to make it as easy to send money as sending a photo, which it actually is that easy to send money at the moment using certain services that are available to us, but those services aren't available to all people. But the thing is, Facebook hasn't proven itself as a financial inclusion advocate in other spaces, and there are people who do this work, and it's hard work of actually educating people who haven't been using banking services before now and enabling them through services that are low fee.
Well, if they can make it as easy to send money as it is to spend money, that would be something, all right. Elaine Burke, editor of Silicon Republic, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.